It's a couple minutes after 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, where for this next hour of programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, the University of California Board of Regents. Good morning. It's time now for Talking Animals on KUCI.
We just had to ask, maybe someone out in heaven would hear us down here. We couldn't bear to stand how the people leave us waiting for something up there. Oh, why did you leave? And why won't you come and save us?
That's new music from Moby with a song called Spiders as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole nine yards, the whole enchilada is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine, home. That's right, of the mighty anteaters. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. This represents the final hours of the final day of the annual KUCI Fund Drive, which means, among other things, there's still time to support KUCI, which we invite, beseech you to do. Please help Talking Animals and all the other fabulous programming on KUCI by donating $10, $20, $50, no amount is too small or too large. You can donate online by way of our cool website, KUCI.org. is go to the very top and click on the section Donate Here, Donate Now, something to that effect. I don't have in front of me, sadly. And then it'll just kind of take you through the process. You can also call in 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And we were supposed to have some folks answering the phones. We may not, so it may be a little tricky with our Talking Animals programming, and the calls we might get there, but we'll work it all out. At any rate, call us, donate online, donate. All right? So, phone number here, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. That's the number you can call to be in touch with Talking Animals right here, the Talking Animals juggernaut. And also, of course, the phone number where you can call to donate, to support. So I urge you to use that number for one reason or another. And again, we'll sort it all out. If you're on the air and you mean donate, that's cool. And if you're on the air to try to talk to me or our guest and end up trying to donate, that's cool too. We'll work it all out. Just don't be shy. Come on, it's our remaining hours here at the KUCI Fun Drive. I wasn't here last week, although by Memorex I was, with my cool guest Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. So, this is my last hurrah for the last hours of the last day of the Fun Drive. So let's see if we can shine a little bit. Call in, donate, online, KUCI.org. Go to it, send a couple bucks. And again, it's not just altruistic. You get stuff back. Donate even just a modest amount. You can get a CD. We've got gift certificates for local restaurants, including some that I rounded up at Native Foods, fantastic vegan restaurant, Costa Mesa. Saw just another rave review, I believe, in the Orange County Register on Friday. So there's stuff in it for you folks. It's not just a kindness of your heart, although we certainly look at it that way as well. But you'll get something out of it too. All right. I think enough said there. So just call. You can also IM us for Talking Animals purposes, not really for donating purposes. By way of AOL Messenger, Talking Animals is the screen name, and you can otherwise be in touch with us less immediately by emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com or by way of our cool website, talkinganimals.net. Make no mistake again, that's talkinganimals.net. Folks, also, before I move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rockin' rip snortin' rendition of the Serena Sharp Show and sort of babysitting our Memorex version of Talking Animals last week. So big thanks to her on both fronts. And meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website, talkinganimals.net, where nearly every show we've ever broadcast is archived, folks. Clear to the heart. And by the way, it's all caught up thanks to the fantastic efforts of our webmaster extraordinaire, John Taylor. So everything through last week, which means the show that included Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, is right there on our website, archived and ready for your listening pleasure. So again, it's talkinganimals.net. So if you've been to the website, if you've heard the show before, hopefully some combination thereof, you know that the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Dr. Kim Haddad, a veterinarian who's also the manager of the Captive Wild Animal Protection Coalition, a consortium, let me use that word, of zoo professionals, sanctuary operators, and animal protection groups, including some perhaps surprising bedfellows, who are aiming to focus their attention and ours on the issue of keeping dangerous wild animals as pets. Obviously, they're against it. As a part of those efforts, one of their stated objectives is to, quote, significantly reduce the trade, use, and possession of captive wild animals as pets. This is always an important issue, but perhaps extra timely with all the stories that have been popping up in the media lately about wild animals that people keep as pets and the things that go awry, sometimes tragically so. So there'll be much to discuss when Dr. Kim Haddad joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, observations, and, of course, any stories you might have spotted. that I'll be most welcome. The number is 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. Also, the number where you could call in a donation. Remaining hours, as I say, of the KUCI Fun Drive. And again, you can do that just as effectively, especially if you're listening online. While you're listening online, you can donate online. Now, isn't that cool? That's some form of synchronicity, I believe. I think it is. All right, turning now to interesting and or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight. And with any luck, to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. Well, like, you know, for example, the KUCI Fun Drive. Have I mentioned that? I know. But, you know, we're in the home stretch. I don't think you can mention it too much, especially if it says, okay, you know what? The guy's hammering on it enough. I'm going to call in and I'm going to donate $30. And for that, I think you could walk away with that Native Foods gift certificate for the cool restaurant Native Foods and a bunch of other stuff, too. So you can check that out online, too. If you're online, go, and especially if you're already on KCIA.org, you can check out some of the cool premiums still remaining for people who are the kind-hearted folks like yourself who are still going to donate. Right? Power of suggestion. All right, let's talk turkey, as it were. In lieu of talking like a turkey, which I suppose has been happening so far. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Again, I wasn't here last week. Well, you know, not live anyway. So there's some catching up to do in animal news, including some follow-ups to stories we've covered previously. Like the elephants that were sent from the San Diego Wild Animal Park to the Lincoln Park Zoo. And all of them died, folks. This story we're going to start the new segment with is even, you know, frankly, more, you know, disturbing and broader than that. So it's from the Associated Press, Dateline Chicago. An endangered monkey is in quarantine while experts at the Lincoln Park Zoo try to determine what killed three other Francois Langurs, the latest in a series of animal deaths that have prompted activists to call for a criminal investigation. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is already looking into possible violations of the Animal Welfare Act at the zoo, and the group that accredits U.S. Zoos is now reviewing all animal care practices there. Officials say the unexpected deaths of the monkeys this week may be linked to their recent move to a new exhibit that gave them access to the outdoors. Their deaths follow those of two elephants, two gorillas, and a camel at the zoo since October, and the death of another elephant earlier this month as it was being transferred from Chicago to Utah. Quote, "It's unheard of for one zoo to have this many animal deaths over such a short period of time," said Debbie Leahy with the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. "I believe three elephant deaths in 6 months is a national record." PETA is calling for prosecutors to investigate the zoo for potential violations of the Illinois Humane Care for Animals Act. The act is used to prosecute animal abuse of any kind, said Chris Herbert, a spokeswoman for the State Department of Agriculture. The surviving Langer, an 8-year-old female, is under observation at the zoo hospital, according to zoo spokeswoman Kelly McGrath. It goes on from there, but boy, I mean, zoos, you know, sometimes a tricky business at best, but this one sounds like it's in deep trouble, and really, yeah, three elephants, 6 months, all not coincidentally sent from San Diego Animal Park when they're just sort of cleaning house to get rid of the older elephants to make room for the new ones that they, some would say, illegally imported. So it all hooks into one thing or another. It was interesting to get the mayoral candidates' view locally here, Han and Villaraigosa, and they have very decidedly different views of what should happen with the elephants at the L.A. Zoo. So Han says, hey, it's all fine, and they're building a bigger enclosure. Villaraigosa says, hey, you're right. We can't do this properly here. Let's send them to a sanctuary. So on that level alone, anybody that cares about animals, or at least elephants, got to be a Villaraigosa person, no? All right, this is a follow-up to yet another story we've covered here in the animal news in recent weeks. Two endangered Bengal tiger cubs breastfed for weeks by a Myanmar woman have died of dehydration. The two cubs, a female and a male, were taken from their mother Noah after she killed the third cub in her litter in March. Halehete, a relative of Yangon Zoological Garden staffer, stepped in when she learned the cubs needed breast milk to survive. But the cubs had trouble digesting human breast milk, which combined with the grinding heat, here proved fatal. The chief veterinarian of the Yangon Zoo told an interview journal. The weather is too hot. The tiger cubs were not a month old when they stopped receiving their mother's milk. He told the publication, they just had the human mother breastfeeding, but their livers could not process the human milk. We tried to treat them, he said Thursday. The female cub died April 27th, and her brother died May 3rd. Cubs were kept in an air-conditioned room, but it was not enough to save them, and added, the zoo plans to stuff the cubs and put them on display, it said. All right, well, I think we've hit enough of that story, have we not? Here's yet another follow-up of a kooky story that actually a guest of ours first kind of broke, and then a few weeks later it was national news. And by this I refer to the idea that the folks in Wisconsin had for making it legal for people to hunt feral cats. Let's just read a little bit of that, also from the Associated Press. A month after Governor James Doyle said a plan to allow hunters to shoot stray cats was making Wisconsin a laughingstock, the public advisor group that raised the issue decided Friday to let it die. Quote, there is no need to push it any further, said Steve Ostreicher, chairman of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, said of a proposal to allow licensed hunters to shoot feral cats that kill wildlife. The proposal ignited a firestorm among animal rights groups that called it inhumane and dangerous and raised the specter that that hunters would shoot cats that had only wandered from their homes. Still, 57% of those attending the Conservation Congress's meetings in all 72 counties last month favored the idea, which supporters said would let people deal with nuisance stray cats. And it goes on from there. All right, I want to quickly hit the animal quiz, news quiz, because we're running short on time here, as it turns out. So, let's just dive in. Basically, it's a true-false thing once again today. If you know the answer and you're the first person to call in with the correct answer at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, you will get your choice of prizes, including the Triumph DVD, books, other CDs, T-shirts, Talking Animals T-shirt, Talking Animals sweatshirt, Talking Animals coffee mug. Cat toys, dog collars, etc., etc., etc. Okay? And keep that in mind because those same prizes will be available for the taking if you are the first person to correctly answer Name That Animal tune towards the end of the show. All right. Here we go. True or false? All 18 species of penguin are found below the equator, primarily in the Antarctic Circle. True or false? All 18 species of penguin are found below the equator, primarily in the Antarctic Circle. 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. All right. While you're pondering that and dialing furiously, I think we may want to move on. And again, if there is time towards the end of the show to come back to some of these other items we have, we had a lot of catching up to, as I mentioned earlier, but we also don't want to get too far behind, and we want to step into the comedy corner and then, of course, be ready to welcome our guest, Dr. Kim Haddad, shortly. So, with that in mind, if there's ever any news items you want to call to our attention, email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And you can also email us, of course, with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email, again, is talkinganimals@aol.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the Talking Animals website. But it's all spruced up and updated thanks to, again, webmaster John Taylor. All the shows that we've ever broadcast up through a week ago today when our guest was Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. Oh, they're all archived there with cool synopses, and there's other photographs and articles and links and audio pieces and more. So, again, there's also a chance to sign up, which we really urge you to do, for our email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. So all that can be found at TalkingAnimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which, as always, of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Bobby Collins with a piece, well, with most of a piece, I should say, called My Dog on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
Where's my cat people here? Give me numbers. Holler out numbers. How many do you have? Two.
Three.
How many? Six. Ding, 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 ding. I don't think you're coming with us. You gotta calm down with the cats, lady. I didn't know cats were smarter than dogs. Yeah, I got a big golden retriever. Love him to pieces.
But he's not that high up on Brain Mountain.
Oh, he's not smart. My kids used to take the phone. He'd give me that look like, Bubba, you're lucky I'm not a pit bull. I would have ate them a long time ago. My dog's the one on the 4th of July with his head wrapped. I love him, but he's not right. He got busted recently. He did. The animal control picked him up. And I know what happened. We all went out for dinner, and he was in the yard by himself, probably chasing his own tail. And he fell through the hedges. Knowing him, he was like, oh, my God. I was just over there. Now I'm over here. Life's a bitch. I better wait right here. I get a call 9:30 that night. Animal control, we have your dog. I didn't even know he was missing. Bring $90 and pick him up at 9 o'clock in the morning. $90. I go, $90, let him sleep in. My wife, go get him. $90. Let him. 4 days, maybe it's down the turn. Oh, I was there, 9 o'clock. They pulled him out of a little cell. He had like a blonde wig and lipstick on. He had a sign hanging, Bubba. One night away from the house, he converted to Islam. Changed his name to Muhammad Kali Wolf Wolf. He won't come by his old name. I go, Winston. He goes, huh? I go, yeah, Muhammad Kali Wolf Wolf. I love him to pieces. He looks at me like, Bobby, you're the most wonderful guy in the whole world. U-P-I-P, Bobby. I'll lick anything. Cat treats me like I'm kitchen help. I come home 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm locking the car door on the street. My dog's in the window, the front window, a block away. Everybody get up. The most wonderful man is coming home. Bobby! I meet you by the door.
All right. That was Bobby Collins in the Comedy Corner with a piece called My Dog, taken from his album I Want to Go Home. Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. You are indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way. And some of you, perhaps, arrived through our small website, TalkingAnimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that our guest today is Dr. Kim Haddad, a veterinarian who's also the manager of the Captive Wild Animal Protection Coalition, a group of zoo professionals, sanctuary operators, and animal protection groups, including maybe some surprising bedfellows, who've banded together to focus their attention and ours on the issue of keeping dangerous wild animals as pets. Obviously, they're against it. As part of those efforts, one of their stated objectives is to significantly reduce the trade, use, and possession of captive wild animals as pets. This is always an important issue, but perhaps extra timely with the string of related stories that have popped up in the media in recent months. So there's lots to discuss as we welcome Dr. Kim Haddad to Talking Animals. Are you there, Dr. Haddad?
I certainly am. Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals. And, of course, most of our chat will be devoted to the Captive Wild Animal Protection Coalition. But before we dive headlong into that, since you're the manager of the coalition and obviously a veterinarian, I think we should find out a bit about you and your background.
All right. I am a veterinarian up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I own a small animal hospital where we care for dogs and cats and animals that we feel are appropriate pets. I also take care of animals in zoo environments and do a little bit of work at the San Francisco Zoo, as well as provide care for more than 400 animals at the Coyote Point Museum, an educational facility up here. I have been very interested in the issue of exotic animals for many, many years, and became involved with these different groups, and we formed the Capital Wild Animal Protection Coalition in February of 2003.
And, okay, so, yeah, at a couple points in the show, including when I just introduced you, I gave sort of a quick, probably too glib or inadequate explanation. Maybe you can fill us in properly on what exactly it is and what it does.
The coalition is a group of 20, actually about 25 now, animal protection groups, as you mentioned, zoos, sanctuary operators, that focus exclusively on the issue of wild animals as pets in the United States. And as you had alluded to, there are many different groups sitting at the same table to discuss this issue, because while we may not agree on many things, we do all agree that people should not have lions, tigers, monkeys, etc., in their basements or backyards or their living rooms. So we focus exclusively on this issue.
And just so people have a sense of both the scope of folks who are members of the coalition and why both now you and I have made kind of references to perhaps some strange bedfellows, maybe you could tell us at least some of the folks who are organizations that are members of the coalition.
At this point, there are, just mention a few names, the Animal Protection Institute, which is located in Sacramento, California, Performing Animal Welfare Society in Galt. I think you've had some of these people as guests on your show in the past.
For sure.
The Detroit Zoo, the Oakland Zoo, Born Free Foundation and Born Free USA, the Humane Society of the United States, International Fund for Animal Welfare, the Wild Animal Orphanage, the Association of Sanctuaries, etc. So there are many, many more on the list, and we're continuing to increase the groups that want to become involved because they recognize how important this issue is, and the only way for us to really have a meaningful impact on it is if we all come together and form strong coalition and speak with the unity of voice and message.
And what is the Bosak and Kruger Foundation? I noticed that they're sort of pivotal, at least in terms of helping support the efforts. I mean, who are they exactly? What role do they play?
Well, they're actually, you know, more than just pivotal in supporting and being involved. They were actually the brainchild behind bringing us all together.
Oh yeah, okay, cool.
As one of a few foundations out there that's done a great deal of work to support sanctuaries and to help support this whole movement, I think the feeling was that, we're not sure we're actually making progress, so let's get together and let's discuss, what's been done in the past, what's the scope of the problem, and come up with some strategies for really having a meaningful impact. And so in May of 2002, they brought a group of 20 different people together to spend a day to just really brainstorm and see what we could come up with. And from that idea, the Capital Wild Animal Protection Coalition was developed. So really, Kathy Savesky, who's executive director of the Bosak Kruger Foundation, really helped bring us all together, and then it's kind of taken on its own life from that day forward.
Okay, cool. So I didn't realize they were actually the moving force, the moving party here in pulling that together initially.
Absolutely. And all of the participants who are part of the coalition help support the function of the coalition through contributions on an annual basis.
And so what are the chief issues then that the coalition, now that it is together and has been for a little while, are dealing with? What are the chief concerns?
Well, the main problem is really educating the public, educating legislators, educating lawmakers, both at the local, state, and federal level, that this is a problem. It doesn't just happen once in a while, kind of here and there, which is how it's presented in the media a lot. You'll hear occasionally a story of someone's tiger getting loose in Florida, or a pet, who knows what, getting loose in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to put that in perspective, because a lot of times, we have a very short memory when it comes to these types of things, and we can be appalled one day and next week completely forget that it ever even happened. So we try to keep these stories alive. We try to put them in a national context so people can really understand that this is a growing problem that happens all across the country. So one of the biggest issues that we're trying to address is really public awareness and education. And we feel that, you know, some of the most important things to educate people about are the fact that this is incredibly dangerous. This is an incredibly dangerous practice. There's tremendous and increasing risk of injury and death to people who are either owning or in the proximity of others who own wild animals as pets, that these animals are often kept in inhumane conditions,
mm-hmm.
that they have the tremendous potential to transmit disease. We've had recent examples of all of these things all across the country, but, you know, in your backyard, really.
Yeah, we're so proud.
California.
Yeah, we have some of the kookier examples
exactly.
of why that's a bad idea here. But
yeah.
but also, too, as you suggest, I mean, it's not just the stories that make the front page of the paper or the evening news. I mean, the less obvious stuff, too, is the diseases and the parasites, right? That can be, really, a lot of those can be passed directly to humans.
Exactly. I mean, there's just, in the last few weeks, you know, several stories from petting zoos in Florida, for example.
Yeah.
People, you know, just things that are taken for granted as they're safe, and people don't realize that even the most innocuous-looking animal can transmit disease and can make you very sick. And, you know, we've had the monkeypox scare in California, and I think we're all familiar with SARS and what's been going on globally with some of these diseases that are transmitted from animals to humans and vice versa, that the risk of disease transmission is huge. But there's also other risks as well that are, you know, maybe not quite so obvious. Things like when animals, people decide they don't want to keep their lizard or their snake or their bird or the iguana, and they open the back door and off they go. And
mm.
many parts of the country, these animals can thrive in non-native habitats for them. So if you go down to Florida, you'll find, you know, iguanas cruising around in the canals in southern Florida. You'll find flocks of feral birds. We've got them in San Francisco. We've got them in New York City. You'll find all sorts of non-native species destroying the habitat and having a huge impact on our indigenous wildlife, which is already under huge pressures, so it's just another added threat to
so it's really,
wildlife.
So it's really spiraling in a lot of ways because those things are then compounding the original problem and then hooking into other problems.
Exactly.
I just want to let our listeners know this is Talking Animals and KUCI. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm speaking with Dr. Kim Haddad, manager of the Captive Wild Animal Protection Coalition, which I guess to sort of oversimplify aims to reduce the number of captive wild animals kept as pets. If you'd like to join the conversation, I have a question for Dr. Haddad. It's 949-824-5824. So, given the kind of sprawling scope of the problem, I mean, how does the coalition feel it's sort of best tackled? I mean, how do you kind of lasso something that's that big?
Well, that's a really good question, and that was really, you know, what kind of brought us all together in the first place, is that it's not only a big problem, but it's got so many different aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trade in wild animals as pets is just one small piece of a much larger global trade in wild animals, whether it's for body parts or skins or for food or for pets or for zoos or for whatever. There's this huge global trade that, again, the pet piece is a small part of it. And so we realized that we couldn't obviously tackle that whole problem, nor can we, you know, tackle the whole issue of every aspect involving pets, because it is, again, so intertwined with all these different aspects. So what we're focusing on primarily is, again, trying to educate those people who are in a position to pass laws,
mm-hmm.
Trying to educate the media so that when they come out with, you know, these reports of something that happened, like the chimpanzees in Los Angeles, that they can put it in this larger context and report about this bigger issue and try to get the attention on the fact that, you know, this is a growing problem. So
mm-hmm.
some of the strategies, in addition to education, is really helping get legislation passed at the local and the state level, also to get federal legislation passed. Unfortunately, we can't pass a federal law on private ownership. We can't, you know, just say you can't have wild animals as pets at the federal level, because that's not how these laws work. So
mm-hmm.
we've had, you know, one piece of legislation that's been passed, another piece being introduced that deal with the interstate transport of wild animals for purposes of selling them as pets. So kind of trying to confine the problem at the larger level. So say, for example, you know, you live in California and you breed exotic cats. You can't sell them for a pet in California, but you can take them to Nevada and
mm-hmm.
sell them there.
Yeah.
So the Captive Wildlife Safety Act prevents you legally from transporting that animal to Nevada to sell it as a pet, and then work on trying to promote and pass and enforce stronger laws within each state that's kind of slowly starts trying to put more and more regulation on this problem.
So it's sort of beefing up legislation where you can, and also sounds like crucially closing loopholes where sounds like from one state to another you could sort of skirt the issue. And you want to, like, sort of close that off.
That's exactly right. There's no, you know, every state has different laws, and even within each state, municipalities have different laws as well. So there's lots of ways around things. You can lose your license from the USDA in one county and move to the next and, you know, just keep moving around. And so it's very difficult to regulate at this time because the laws are not
consistent.
Yeah, they're not consistent, and they're not strict enough. And in many cases, they're
not enforced.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you find when as the coalition, you know, presents more and more of this information, whether it's to John and Jane Q. Public or legislators, that they get it, that they understand, and then say, hey, yeah, we should sort of either change our view, change our practices, hopefully in some cases change the legislation? Or do you still find people who say, you know, that sounds like a lot of kind of exaggerated hooey? Or, I mean, is it all kinds of responses? Or
I think for the most part, you know, the people that I come in contact with, you know, and I talk with thousands of people on a regular basis just in my business, and
mm-hmm.
people who are pet owners who care about animals,
sure.
and concerned, and I don't think I've spoken to a single person about it that hasn't said, oh, my God, I had no idea.
Right.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
This needs to be stopped. I can't believe there's no law.
Mm-hmm.
So in many cases, people just assume that it's illegal because it's so insane that someone would think it's okay to have a tiger for a pet.
Right.
You know, so they think, well, there must be a law saying you can't do that. When they find out there's not, they're like, oh, my God, this is crazy. So I think a lot of it is awareness. And there are of course, people and groups out there who think it's, you know, it's their right to have whatever animal they want, to do whatever they want with that animal. And, you know, there's people that you can educate and people who you can bring around to kind of understand why it's a bad idea. And there are others you can't. And for those, you have to legislate against.
Because, yeah.
You know, there's only, you can, you know, talk to your blue in the face, but there's always going to be groups that disagree.
Sure. Well, and then, so people then really, if they are presented that, because, you know, sometimes you hear and read about people where you think, well, there's obviously some people who think, despite what you just said, hey, why wouldn't it be okay to have a tiger? You know, hey, I live in a remote area, nobody's, you know, going to really be put at risk. And you just wonder if, like, you know, sort of that my hypothetical dumb guy, like, you know, if someone like that and anybody that would affect him can be turned around, or if that's just kind of the freak that you just sort of have to say, all right, we have larger agendas at hand. We can't necessarily spend too much time on someone who, you know, is going to think it's a good idea and defend the idea of having a tiger in their backyard or whatever.
Exactly. Well, you know, and the funny thing is a lot of these people try to justify what they're doing. They use the conservation argument. They say, well, you know, if we don't breed these tigers, you know, in my backyard in Arkansas or wherever they live, you know, they're going to go extinct. And so I'm just protecting and I'm saving the species. And, you know, it's just insane because they're not. Not only are they never going to reintroduce these tigers into the wild, but they're, you know, breeding backyard tigers. They're mixing different breeds. They have no idea what their genetics are, and they're actually weakening the species rather than actually protecting an endangered species. So, you know, a lot of people who don't really understand the issues will hear that and go, well, yeah, that makes sense. But the reality is these people are actually creating more demand for these animals, which affects their conservation in their natural habitats, and it actually does more harm than good to these animals that they proclaim to be protecting and saving.
Yeah.
It's like the guy in Southern California has placed Tiger Rescue, you know, he's saving these tigers. And, you know, as you know, those last 39 tigers that are up at Paws in San Andreas, you know, those animals were not being saved. Trust me, he was not doing anything on behalf of conservation. And those tigers are very lucky that they have such a wonderful home.
Absolutely. But a horrible, horrible story, and yet another example of things that slip through the cracks. I mean, that was been a horrible story for years before it was finally busted. And And that's where it goes back to speaking to your thing about tightening legislation, because people went there. Tippi Hedren was on here a few weeks ago, and she had gone years before that was exposed and tried to do something about it, but there either wasn't the machinery in place for enforcement or investigation, so that place was allowed to continue until it reached, you know, whatever the crisis point was. But just, again, supports the idea that we just have to beef things up and then really enforce.
Exactly, and one of the other issues is finding places for these animals to go to. In many cases, there are facilities like Tiger Rescue and much, much worse all over the country where, I mean, there literally are tens of thousands of big cats in living in terrible situations, and the reality is there's just not enough good places to put them.
Yeah.
And so in many cases, because they feel their hands are tied and no one wants to talk about the issue of what do we do with these animals for which there's no proper home for, meaning the tough questions of humane euthanasia versus finding places for these animals, they're going to stay where they are, and they're going to continue to live in unsafe and inhumane facilities because people are still allowed to breed and sell these animals like, you know, like they're just a commodity.
And what's, you know, for folks like us who, you know, do care and are plugged in and want to make things better, I mean, it's probably helpful to get specifics or even statistics. I mean, can you give us a sense of, you know, either the scope of the problem, which I think we've already kind of, you know, gotten a general sense of, but, I mean, are there any details particularly that come to mind or either things going awry with you know, wild animals that... that kind of helps give it a real specific face?
Well, in terms of, you know, just to kind of put some numbers on things, you mean? Like,
Yeah, just anything that kind of, you know, because I just think part of, like we were saying before, it's so big and sprawling that you can't,
right.
You know, I just think sometimes people, you know, really help by saying, oh, my God, I didn't realize there were that many attacks or that many illnesses or that many tigers or that many, you know, whatever it
right,
is.
Right, right. And we do keep track of all incidents involving captive wild animals in the U.S., and we have a database that we've been building since February of 2003, and we feel that, you know, the trend in terms of the number of incidents is definitely on the increase. And we put out monthly reports, and anyone who wants to receive those incident reports can subscribe to them on our website, which is CWAPC.org, which stands for Captive Wild Animal Protection Coalition. And we put those out, and those are really good for giving you an idea of what kind of facilities these incidents are happening in, what kind of animals are involved, and just a geographical distribution of where these things are happening. But just to give you an example, there have been from this one report that I'm just looking at right now, mm-hmm. from March of 2003 to December of 2004, so a little over a year, we've had 20 people killed by captive wild animals, 75 people were injured, 446 animals died, over 1,000 animals escaped, and over 1,500 animals were confiscated.
Mm.
And that's a pretty short period of time. And,
yeah.
And these are just the ones that get reported.
Right.
And, you know, I would say that, you know, probably half of these incidents go unreported because people aren't going to willingly call and say, hey, my tiger got loose. You know, these are things that have to be picked up by the media. And, you know, the larger incidents we do see of someone getting, you know, killed or injured by, say, a large carnivore. But a lot of times the smaller incidents we don't get reports on.
Yeah.
There's no law saying you have to report these things unless it's, you know, potential for rabies exposure or something like that. So,
sure.
So, and in terms of the, you know, the numbers of animals out there, it's hard also to get an exact number for these animals because there is no, for the most part, requirement for permitting. The USDA doesn't license individual pet owners, and even their licensees, say exhibitors or breeders, in many cases their animals and inventory reports, you know, it's very difficult to get access to that, so it's hard to get a real assessment of the numbers. But we, based on the collective, you know, estimates of the coalition participants, feel that there are between 10 and 20,000 large cats in private hands in this country. We think about 5 to 7,000 of those are tigers. We think that there are more than 15,000 primates in private hands.
Wow.
And when you start talking about reptiles and birds, millions,
yeah.
millions and millions.
Wow.
So the numbers are huge.
Yeah.
And it's increasing.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. But I think that's really helped because, frankly, even I'm surprised at some of those numbers, and I felt like I was pretty up to speed on this. So it is just a gigantic problem in ever mushrooming. So, you know, we're sort of nearing the end of our time, but let me just again remind our listeners it's Talking Animals. We're speaking with Dr. Kim Haddad, manager of the Captive Wild Animal Protection Coalition. If you'd like to ask Dr. Haddad a question in our remaining moments, it's 949-824-5824. I know at least one person called in, and I'm going to grab the phone and ask the folks in the lobby not to pick it up before I do, in case someone else does call in. But so what else, what can we do to help Dr. Haddad? I mean, obviously the website is really great, and another thing too that there's just actually a bunch of great information. But one thing, too, that's sort of a side issue but really important is that instead of the idea of, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't have wild animals as pets, what people, I guess, often do is say, hey, I've got a tiger here, so if I declaw it, I defang it. Hold on one sec. I think we might have a caller. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI with Dr. Kim Haddad. Hello? Hello? Hello, you're on the air live on KUCI. All right. Well, they'll call back, perhaps. Let's declaw it, let's defang it, let's whatever, so it's more safe. I mean, of
exactly.
course, it's like it's taking an insane thing and somehow making it more insane, but I guess that's a fairly common... let's try it one more time. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI with Dr. Kim Haddad.
Yes, I'd like to ask her a question.
Okay, please.
Hello, Doctor. That very interesting program, and those numbers are shocking. You know, when I read about celebrities, I'm thinking about a boxer in particular, a comedian that have wild animals on their property, lions, tigers, that kind of thing. Do you ever use them? Can they ever be approached to make some kind of a commercial advising against this and also giving them up themselves, that kind of stuff? Do you get involved with anything like that? I thought maybe they could sway people.
You know, that's a really great thought, and you know, one of our biggest concerns are these images that are portrayed over and over again, whether it's, you know, Late Night with David Letterman or the Good Morning Show, where someone brings, you know, a little array of wild animals and they have them jumping on stage. That what happens, that people see that and go, oh, God, that's cool, I want one of those, I want a bobcat. So for the most part, we've tried to, you know, speak to them about the messages that they're sending to people and trying to get them to actually say, you know, we're professional trainers and we don't recommend that people do this, but no matter what you say, it's, you know, walking around with a, you know, cheetah on a leash, people are going to see that and they're not going to hear a word you say. But I do think that that's an excellent suggestion about trying to find a way to work with them instead of, you know, telling them that what they're doing is causing a problem. So that's
right,
a great suggestion.
Right.
I appreciate that. That would.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. It's been a very, very interesting program. Thank you for your great work.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thanks for the call, and thanks indeed for the suggestion. Very cool.
Yeah.
So what else then, just in our remaining moments, Dr. Haddad, I mean, what else as real, you know, true animal lovers, not, you know, hey, I'm an animal lover, therefore I'm going to get a tiger tomorrow, can we do to help with this issue? I mean, you know, how can we assist in affecting the change you're talking about on the legislative level? What can we really do?
Well, I think there's a couple of real important things that people can do. You know, one is to make sure that you're, you know, understand and are aware of what the laws are where you live, in your, you know, county, in your city, and in your state. And if you see facilities that you feel are not treating animals appropriately, like, for example, if you go to a fair and someone has a little stand where you can get your picture taken with a tiger cub,
mm-hmm.
you need to do something about it. You need
right.
to, you know, complain and protest and call the local animal control and call the, you know, local animal protection groups and see what, you know, make sure that they're aware of it and see what can be done and see if you can assist in that way. There's a lot of these little things that go on, you know, all across the country, and it's individuals that go out and spot these things that help us bring about change. So, you know, those are some of the important things of when you see inappropriate use of animals, then, you know, we really have to make people aware of it. You know, don't visit roadside substandard facilities, whether they're call themselves zoos or whether they call themselves sanctuaries, you know, and you need to be critical when you do go to these places. And if people are, you know, petting and touching and calling these animals their pets, you know, they're not saving these animals. So you need to kind of just be critical when you go to these places, and if you think they're unsafe and the animals are not doing well, again, you need to report them to animal protection groups. And certainly if you know of anyone that's having these animals any of these wild animals as a pet, you definitely need to contact local authorities.
And also on the legislative level, I think we could all help a little bit. I mean, one of the other things, as I recall on the website, again, cwapc.org, it kind of guides people to, depending on where they're living, and various people, you know, through the internet are listening to the show in various places, of where, how they can contact their local legislators. And I think there's even you guys give a link or a website of where you can put in your zip code or something and find out exactly who to contact.
Exactly. And you're right. I mean, those are important things people can do. It sounds kind of silly to, you know, writing a letter to your legislator, but you know what? It has a huge impact. And finding out who, you know, that your state and your federal legislators are, and writing them letters to let them know that you're concerned about this issue and it's important to you and you want to know what they're doing about it. We had in March of this year, Eddie Bernice Johnson, who's a Democrat from Texas, and Rob Simmons, who's a Republican from Connecticut, introduced the Captive Primate Safety Act, which is H.R. 1329, which would be much like the Captive Wildlife Safety Act we talked about for big cats. This would be focusing on primates, so people could not transport primates across state lines to sell them as pets.
Mm.
And this was introduced, you know, in the fallout from the incident in Southern California with the chimpanzees that attacked that man when he went to visit them that facility.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that people can definitely do, you know, write to your senators and your local representatives and say, you know, I want you to support this. This
mm-hmm.
is important, and we need to get more senators to sponsor this bill and get involved and sign on their approval. So people writing letters and making phone calls saying it's important to them will let their representatives know that this is an issue that they have to pay attention to. So people can have a huge impact by writing letters and making phone calls and being activists and letting people know it's important.
Very cool. And we are just about out of our time, but one other quick thing I want to add is that another great resource on the website, cwapc.org, is there's all kinds of cool educational materials that you can download, fact sheets, brochures, I mean, at all levels, I mean, including, like, for children and stuff all the way up. So, again, I want to urge people to check that out, and they can not only educate themselves, but those things can, of course, be distributed to others, which is really just helpful in so many ways.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah, we've kind of put together the information that all these different groups and their, you know, wonderful staffs and minds have come up with, and tried to put them all into one central place where people can download and access and have links directly to these organizations' websites for more information. So.
And it's so great that some are aimed at kids, because, again, you know, what you have to really try to get across, however young they are, is like, yeah, they are cool animals and it's neat, but here's why we have to be very careful, and here's certainly why we're not going to have one in our house, but why other people shouldn't have them in their houses.
Exactly. I think, you know, my last point is that there are so many ways for people to show their love and respect for animals. It doesn't involve buying them and owning them and putting them in a cage to stare at them.
Sure.
So it's a great message to send to young children, because, you know, we're such a consumption-driven society. To teach children other ways to show their, you know, love and respect for animals is a great way to start.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, Dr. Kim Haddad, thank you so much. It's the Captive Wild Animal Protection Coalition. The website, one more time, is cwapc.org. And thanks for your great work, and thanks for spending the time today with us on Talking Animals.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, we want to thank Dr. Kim Haddad for joining us on Talking Animals. The organization, one last time, is the Captive Wild Animal Coalition. The website is cwapc.org. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at kuci.org, where you can and should make donations to our annual fund drive in our remaining hours. We're calling right now, 949-824-5824. It's time now to play Name That Animal Tune, just like any other Name That Tune game you'd like to mention, except this is animal-related. So you'll hear what you're hearing now, and if you can identify what it is, you'll win a prize, your choice of prizes that we mentioned earlier in the show. It's 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. If you're the first person to call in and correctly identify this animal tune. All right, let's get started. It's Name That Animal Tune, Talking Animals here on KUCI.
gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning everyone's mind.
All right, can you name that animal, Tim? Whether you can or can't, we're just about reached the end of this edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, and the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank our guest, Dr. Kim Haddad, for joining us on Talking Animals. One more time, the organization is the Captive Wild Animal Protection Coalition. The website is CWAPC. And I want to thank our caller with the great idea. I hope you'll join us next Monday, May 23rd, when our guest will be Kat Albrecht, a real-life pet detective. Some would say the very first pet detective ever. Also co-author of The Lost Pet Chronicles and founder of Pet Hunters International, which trains pet detectives and search dogs. Again, I hope you'll call in and or donate online. It's the last couple hours of the last day of the fund drive, so please, please, please support KUCI. Please check out our website, talkinganimals.net. When you get there, sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other cool events. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. Great, great blues show coming up here on KUCI momentarily. It's KUCI and Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're closing things out with an animal-related tune. This is Porno for Pyros with a song called Porpoise Head on KUCI. Donate now. Donate now. Thank you.